This is truly a time of Lent in our parish as we pray for our pastor that he may return to health. And I appreciate Father Ben's comments. But the best thing about what he said in, you know, praising the deacon's participation is that because it causes pride in me, he made sure that I had something to confess at the beginning of the Confiteor. That was very nice of him, yes. Well, if you were to ask me whether a GPS for my car is a good thing, I would answer yes and no. A GPS is able to see almost everything from above. When I have no idea of the directions to follow to get where I'm going, it can feel almost in a way like God himself saying, "You can trust me. Place yourself in my hands and I will get you to where you want to go." So that is a wonderful use of technology, isn't it? On the other hand, it perhaps gets us used to putting just a little bit too much trust in that same technology. Last week, I accidentally put the wrong location in my phone. Without a worry in the world, I was going in the wrong direction for a while, finally, angrily resetting the GPS. What if it tells me to turn in the right place, but it's dark there and I can't see where the turn is? I'm still in the dark. Now, as people of faith, we know what sacred scripture tells us about the worship of idols. Can we see the potential for idolatry of technology? Today, the world needs to be reminded that technology is not God. We see all around us people turning to all kinds of technology for assurance, for direction, for entertainment, for wisdom. It tells us something that more and more Catholics make their Lenten sacrifice the reducing or even the getting rid of various types of screen time. Well, how is this relevant? Well, the readings today are very good for Lent because Lent is the time of year when we turn intentionally to our spiritual GPS. GPS, initials stand for Global Positioning System. It's very convenient in English because we can turn to our God positioning system. Things really become clear during Lent, don't they? The choice really becomes obvious during Lent. The two paths really light up, the one to the kingdom of heaven and the other to the kingdom of Satan. How clear are the prophetic words of Ezekiel? If someone sins but repents, God will forgive them. If they have done good works, but then turn to wickedness, God will judge them. So it's not about our good works, it's about turning to God. It's about turning to that God positioning system in the world and in the kingdom. If a really bad person turns to God, he shall live. He shall be saved. He shall find the right path. But if a good person turns away from doing good and does evil things, he or she will die spiritually. What was the right path makes a really wrong turn towards death, which is the loss of relationship with God. In New Testament terms, it's being thrown out of the kingdom into the dark where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, to quote Jesus. When it comes to our lives, the ending is what matters. It is entirely about whether our hearts have been turned to God. And if we say to God, "Look how many more good things I did than bad," that will be useless. That will be in vain. The Sermon on the Mount is kind of like a roadmap or a GPS for our life. Those chapters 5, 6, and 7 from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus gives us the path. You have heard it said, "Don't kill," but I say, "Don't be angry with your brother or sister, but be reconciled to them. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Do we hear that? If you follow your own ideas, your own technology, your own GPS, your idols, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, even if those seem like good things on the surface. Now, Jesus says that if while offering your gift at the altar, so this is the image that he uses, if while offering your gift at the altar, you remember some unresolved hostility with someone in your life, you must go and make peace with them before returning to the altar, before offering your gift. So there's an order that things need to be in. Now, I think of at weekday Mass, you know, oftentimes, well, usually at weekday Mass, the gifts of bread and wine are already here at the altar. So it's easy to miss the heart of what is being offered on the altar is not just the hosts made by the Sisters of the Precious Blood or the wine purchased from an approved church source. It is what you and I have to give that is being offered on the altar. It is ourselves, our hearts, that are to be offered on the altar, along with bread and wine, which are made by human hands, as Father will say in the Eucharistic liturgy. God takes both kinds of gifts, our bread and our wine, but also ourselves, and transforms them into himself and gives them back to us as himself through the action of the priest and the action of the Holy Spirit. So with our spiritual GPS turned on, our coming to the altar must pass through reconciliation. This is what Jesus is saying, and what a human GPS might get wrong, that you don't go straight there. You have to go through the path of reconciliation. That's why we have that sacrament of reconciliation. You know, when I was a child, the lineups for confession were almost as long as the lines coming up for communion. I don't know if some of you remember those times. Not so anymore, is it? So the path that used to lead so clearly through being reconciled to God and others before coming to the altar has a little bit been lost, I think somewhat, to technology. And that is a serious problem because it can make our gift at the altar useless or in vain. But there's lots of hope. I don't mean to be negative here, because God is always offering his mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation, in our prayer, in our desire to be reconciled. And so that is always the goal. That is the GPS, to desire. And so it comes. It's offered by God, but it comes through our hearts, or it is made active by our hearts turning to God. And that's why this time of Lent is so amazing. The psalmist says, "Lord, if you mark our iniquity, who can stand? But with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness." Is there a better way to clarify what is at stake this Lent? And so again, brothers and sisters, you know this, so I'm repeating what you already know. Let us turn our hearts to God. Let us have hearts that are willing to be reconciled, to go through that path with our... Let us make ourselves ready to receive God's mercy, the only good that matters. Let us turn on the GPS that God is offering. Let us hear his voice with confidence and peace.